This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
New message.
Hey man, it's Devin. You know, from that time you accidentally emailed me because you thought I was a different Devin. Oh, and your email signature said confidential. If you received this in error, please delete. That's so you. Anyway, I heard you bought a boat. When are we setting sail, Captain?
When you get a boat, you also get new friends. Make sure Progressive's one of them and get coverage today for as little as $100 a year.
Oh, and no, you did not receive this message in error.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Welcome to That Mill Podcast. Hope you're doing well. Today, joining me, Omar, I have Mr. Kai Bennett. Hello, pal. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. Coming to a close of the international break, so to speak. We were just speaking off air there, weren't we, about the England game yesterday against Hungary. It wasn't great, was it? A 1-1 draw. I mean, you asked me if I actually went to it. I had to sit through it, and I did. Albeit I left 15 minutes before the end just to kind of, you know, beat the rush, so to speak. It wasn't anything to get up for. And I'm glad I did in the end. So it sounds like, you know, it just went from bad to worse towards the end. And I think it was when Grealish gets subbed off for Henderson, and you think to yourself, like, you know, it's just England's just sometimes, even though despite the general consensus is good, they know how to dampen the mood sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that substitute Grealish, taking Grealish off was crazy. Well, on the telly, it sounded like they were going to do Foden, take Foden off. The commentator said Foden. I was disappointed about that, but then when they took Grealish, I was like, he's the only player that actually looked, him and Foden were the only ones that looked like they were ever great on it for us. So taking him off was really silly, in my opinion. But
definitely, mate, it's just England, isn't it? I think, but yeah. It was obviously, it's good to go to Wembley. It still has that same kind of buzz around it, I think, after the Euros and stuff like that. But we'll leave the England talk anyway. We're here obviously to talk about Millwall. We'll have two parts of the show today. Part one will be about Saturday's game coming up against Luton Town. And part two, we're just going to talk a bit about the players out on loan from the club and just kind of give a general consensus about them as well. So we'll be back into part one shortly. And welcome to part one of the show. As mentioned, we'll be talking about Saturday's game ahead of a, hopefully, mate, 8 games unbeaten, 3 wins back-to-back against Luton Town. I mean, tough, tricky side, obviously. But, you know, it's going to be hopefully a kind of continuation from the last set of international break games to continue into the next few before, obviously, the November international break. Time to string some form together, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be great if we could make it 3 wins on the spin. That'll really turn the, you know, it could even put us into the, I think we're probably, we can't quite go into the playoffs, can we, with a win? I think the goal difference is a bit too much to overcome. But, you know, it definitely puts us up there, puts us into the top 10 if we win the game against Luton. And Luton are quite decent. They've been quite decent over the last couple of weeks, didn't they? They beat Coventry, was it 5-0? You know, so it just shows their attacking qualities, and you know, and it's going to be a tough game, but it's one of them ones. If we win, you know, the mood, the general mood really does lift. And because after two really good games before the international break, that really lifted the spirits of the club and of the players and everyone around the club. And that was fantastic for the club to go to the international break on two wins. And it'd be fantastic if we can return after the international break with 3 points.
You're bang on, mate. I mean, yeah, they're sitting in 13th place, Luton Town. Their form's a bit hit and miss, that, not to warn people, but between us in 22 games this season, we've got 11 draws combined. I'm not thinking it's going to be a draw Saturday, albeit, would I take it? Maybe. But, you know, they're a tricky customer, Luton Town. They've got 3 wins, 5 draws, 3 defeats, 18 goals scored, and 16 conceded in 11 games, as opposed to us, obviously, with 3 wins, 6 draws, 2 defeats, with 11 for 11 against. I think, you know, if I'm looking at a Luton team there, I think its entertainment factor seems to be a thing there. It's Nathan Jones, isn't it, Kai? You know, the guy that went, yeah. He was obviously their manager in League One, almost basically got them promoted, left them, jumped ship, went to Stoke City, didn't work out there for him, but he's got this unique kind of style of play he gets praised for a lot, doesn't he? But, you know, it's obviously entertaining, mate. They've got some goals amongst their sides. It's going to be obviously a tricky game, but I think hopefully we should be at least entertained on Saturday, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. And I think with the players we've got back as well, could be a really good game in terms of our quality. We've got higher up the pitch with Ojo, Afobe and Jed, you know, looking like they might have started to form a good partnership. I mean, I thought against Barnsley in the second half, we dominated Barnsley and we looked the better side, and three of them looked to start to gel. So hopefully they can continue and progress and hopefully really gel together, because I think once they do, we'll have a really, really exciting forward line there. But yeah, Luton, they're good at what they do. You know, they did well last year. Nathan Jones transformed them into a, you know, a really solid championship outfit. And, you know, obviously went to Stoke, which probably looked like a bad decision after all that. Because I think, you know, Luton, he did very well with Luton, didn't he, the year before, the two, couple of years before that. And coming back to Luton, they were a little bit unsure about him, weren't they, when he first came back? Mm-hmm. But he's proved them wrong. And, you know, he's got their fans back on side. You know, and if we can put in a good performance on Saturday and show the quality that we have, I've got no doubt we can get 3 points, but we just need to be defensively solid and a little bit more exciting going forward.
Definitely, mate. I think it's probably Luton's away form that's been a bit iffy. They've got a decent win away at Barnsley like we did. But aside from that, they've not won away this season. Obviously, their home form, I think, has been key to them. They've turned over the likes of, you know, Peterborough at home quite comprehensively start the season. Like you said, Coventry as well. They've got a couple of familiar faces in there that all fans will be aware of. I mean, one in particular being Fred Onyedinma. I think he's injured at the moment. I'm not sure how long his length of injury is. I don't know if you only know any more on that, Kai. I've kind of put you on the spot there whilst I try and find out. But, you know, he's obviously started the season really well there at Luton Town, but maybe we're missing out on Saturday.
Well, if he's injured, that's really good news because, you know, these players they always come back with a vengeance, don't they? And they always want to prove, you know, show Millwall why it was wrong to let them go as such. I think we let him go, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I think the thing is, we did let him go. It was Neil Harris, wasn't it? He gave him this 3-year deal and then it kind of broke down in the end. He went to Wickham, found some form, didn't he? And obviously picked up in the summer for a free transfer, I believe, from Luton Town. Yeah. If not, it might have been a small fee. But yeah, obviously they got relegated, went to Luton. I think it was the first game of the season where he got voted like EFL player of the day or something silly, because he's got like 2 assists and a goal or something like that. So yeah, he obviously hit the ground running there. But I think he's obviously injured at the moment. Like I said, I'm trying to find out the severity of the injury. But also another player there is Alan Campbell, who also picked up another injury, started the season for them, but he seems to come back into the squad the last couple of games. But obviously someone that was, you know, kind of linked to Mill in the summer, we decided to go against it. And, you know, we've got our midfield that we're happy with, but be interested to see how he does against us three players.
Yes, one of them ones that sort of like dragged on for quite a while, didn't it? We heard about it in January. We thought it might go for him. And then we sort of heard about it all, you know, the rest of the season, about whether we would go in at the end of the season and try and get him. I think he's quite a box-to-box midfielder. He's tough tackling, works hard. So he seems like a good player, but it'll be interesting to see what he is like and whether we did miss out on a player like that. On Saturday, it'll be interesting to see whether we should have got him for, but you know, because as a when you go and watch these players, you can generally tell whether they would have fit into our style of play. And if he did, obviously we probably feel like we might have missed out. But you know, our midfield's more than good enough. George Saville, Ryan Leonard, George Evans, Michael Kieftenbeld. You know, I don't know if I'm missing anyone in there, but you know, we've got more than a good enough midfield, and Billy Mitchell even. I mean, Billy, fantastic, what player. And you know, so it'll be interesting to see what he's like, but he looks like a good player on paper, but be good to see what he is really like in the flesh on Saturday.
Reading, I'm not sure the results here of Football League World, but Onyedima supposedly has a ligament damage injury related thing there. So I imagine he won't be available on Saturday, but he's been out for 6 or 7 games, so he could be available. You never know. I'm not sure the severity of it, but ligament injuries can vary, can't they, from quite minor to very severe. So hopefully it's not too long for Onyedima, because I always did like him at Millwall. Just didn't, I don't think he was a fit here. You know, there's multiple cases of players that don't fit here at Millwall and do well elsewhere, don't they, Kai? So let's focus on us anyway. I think we give quite a good update there on Luton. Other key players, actually, what I wanted to just read out for Luton before we do move on. They've got a few players in their side, you know, like I said, Adam Campbell, said Onyedima there. I think their strike force up front, you know, they've got Adebayo Ajayi, who's a striker on 5 goals a season. You know, they've got players in there that score goals. Luke Berry from midfield seems to be a constant threat. I remember at Plymouth Town a few years ago, but he seems to score absolute worldies as well, doesn't he? I don't know if you've seen a few of his goals, Kai, but he's definitely one of those highlight type players, I think, to kind of grab the headlines, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And I, you know, I think that's quite exciting from midfield. I mean, another one of their players, him and Harry Kulnick. Kulnick, I believe, is really, he's very good. I mean, he's got quick feet. And he always looks dangerous. I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was in lockdown, Leeds played against Luton, and Leeds, basically, they won. They get closer and closer to promotion. I think Harry Kulnick equalised with about 10 minutes to go or something like that, or he scored first, and wow, it was a brilliant goal. And ever since then, he's really hit form and done really well. And last year, he was a constant threat. And again, on Saturday, he'll be a constant threat. So we need to just sort of mind him, and, you know, we can block them, their threat out. You know, I believe we've got more than enough to trouble them defensively. I think if we keep a clean sheet, I think we'll win the game, because I think we'll score a couple of goals, and even if we only score one and we win 1-0, that'll do us 3 points, isn't it? So yeah, win's a win.
We'll get on to predictions in a little while, I think, as we edge out of part one. But do you know what we're hoping for on Saturday for the first time this season, if I had to put you on the spot?
Are you saying to me?
What's Millwall hoping for this season for the first time? More specifically, Gary Rowett. What's Gary Rowett hoping for this season for the first time?
Is it a full squad for the first time?
It's a full injury-free squad. I mean, touch woods, it happens.
That could be hampered, couldn't it? Because have you seen about George Saville?
I've seen, yeah. I mean, I don't know what he's in. Do you know what his knock was?
It said on News at Den, it was just a flare-up of a knee problem. I think it was a knee. It was something to do with his knee. It was flared up a bit on international duty, because he didn't play in Northern Ireland's game last night. So Daniel Ballard got through 82 minutes last night. I think he played all 90 the game before. Mm-hmm. So he looks like he's come through unscathed. But obviously, George Saville was... well. On the positive news, he wasn't involved, so there's no chance he could have got injured last night. It's obviously either in training or in the game before that, but let's hope it's not too serious and he's back for Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, key players, obviously, to mention, Scott Malone, hopefully, I think he's suffering with soreness, obviously rested, but, you know, injured against Barnsley, but obviously given a few days off after the international break as well. Obviously, Mason Bennett and hopefully Conor Mahoney back involved as well. And like you said, Joel Saville hopefully comes through. And then a free... injury-free squad available for Gary Rowett. I mean, a bit of a rarity. Like I said, first time this season, and what are we into the 12th game of the season, into November? But also, you know, it'd be great to have that many options. You know, it was talking pre-season, weren't we, Kai, before the first game of the season, thinking, cool, look at all these options. Maybe now Rowett's going to have them options to, you know, change games, hopefully impact it, you know, and try and make things that, like, you know, from the sideline, so to speak, manage the game and, you know, if necessary, change things up.
Yeah, I think it's real. It'll be really good to see the depth as well. Not just sometimes I don't always look at the start 11. I look about, you know, if I always look at the start 11 first, of course, but then I look at what we've got on the bench if it's not going quite right. And I think Saturday, if everyone's back, you know, let's say Jed, Afobe and Ojo start up top together. You know, if it's not going right, we've got the likes of Mason Bennett. We've got Conor Mahoney to come on. We've got Matt Smith, Tom Bradshaw. There's four attacking options there who, you know, a couple of weeks ago with all the injuries we had, there was Matt Smith was the man to come on, or Tom Bradshaw, because we didn't have Mason Bennett, we didn't have Conor Mahoney, we didn't have Ojo, we didn't even have Afobe, you know. So we were playing these Bradshaw and Smith. So it does show the depth in squad we've got now is really good, and I think it will, you know, not only will be great from the start of the games, I think we'll probably really be able to influence games later on in the game because of the substitutions we can now bring on.
Definitely. I mean, it's obviously, you know, the manager said quite openly, judge me now, so to speak, you know, with the squad available. I mean, he's probably, you know, he's done well so far with two back-to-back wins, but, you know, he's starting to say this is the team I want, basically, and making that clear to all the fans. But, you know, I guess as well as it being a good thing, sometimes, you know, in football, having that many players available, you know, we know about our squad, we know about the team morale anyway, maybe in our case it won't be a problem, but you know, having players that don't play, not even make the match day squads at times, it can lead to problems, can't it, if it's a sustained thing. But I suppose for Rowett, he's buzzing to have the options available. It's kind of a catch 22, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's difficult because we've actually got quite a, well, not a large squad, but we've got a bigger squad of what we're used to over the last couple of years. Harris always believed in a small squad, didn't he? So Rowett's sort of grown that squad, and you know, players who are missing out, they're players that are missing out now. You know, and it's, you know, it's, it, we look at the bench now and it looks so much stronger, and you, and but only after the game do you realize, actually, hang on a second, he missed out because of, you know, them coming back. And it starts to show you there's players that are missing out now who are actually, well, you know, good players that could be on the bench. I'm not adding Bovarsson into that category, you know, because Bovarsson being out of the squad is, you know, I don't dislike Bovarsson, just don't think he's championship quality. So, you know, it's good we've got other options to be able to come on rather than Bod.
If Mickey was here, you know, you'd say, as long as he's here till Blackpool away in January, he's going to do his bet. If you're a regular listener to our show, you know exactly what we're talking about there. But yeah, Mickey's not about today, so we, you know, I said it for him regardless. There you go. But yeah, I agree with you, mate. You know, it's, I was sort of interrupting you in your flow there. Was you another point you wanted to make at the end there, or
no? That was it, really. I was just thinking that, you know, the players that we have got out, and there's some players that are that will be unthought, you know, not really any thought of their own, just that will be on the out of the squad completely, and they don't deserve to be out of the squad. So, you know, and I think if Cooper comes back and does really well, then Murray Wallace will find himself out of the squad as well, which will be really unfair, really harsh on him because of the quality he's shown in the last couple of weeks, the reliability, the versatility he's shown. He's been fantastic. So, you know, it's about weighing up them sort of options. And, you know, it's difficult for Rowett to get it, to get the balance right. But let's hope he can do that.
I mean, the good thing that we saw, obviously, before Barnsley away in particular, obviously, with players coming back from injury, the Friday before, we played, obviously, the 23s game. Can't remember who it was against at the time, speaking now. But obviously, Bodfarson played, Thompson played. You know, we're offering chances instead of them to make travel up and just make up numbers of the travelling squads. You know, they played on the Friday. And I guess for them, if they know they're not going to play on the Saturday, they're probably buzzing not to travel up Barnsley anyway. And just not sitting in the stands instead of they're at home and whatever, get a free weekend off. But it's good that then they can, we can, you know, offer them to the 23s without impacting too many of their developments to obviously not play. But, you know, it's good then, obviously, players play, keep the minutes in them, hopefully some match fitness, but also, you know, it also then offers, you know, for the 23 side to get a bit better as well, I suppose, with that kind of players playing at their level.
Yeah, and I think players like, it gives the players valuable minutes, you know, because I think, you know, if any of them players like Thompson or, you know, Bovarsson are to go out in January, whether that's a loan deal, whether that's a permanent deal, whether they're to leave the club, you know, and any player that leaves the club, you know, it's good minutes for them to be able to get match fit, get themselves ready. I'll be it's difficult on with Thompson, isn't it? Because I'd be really disappointed to see him leave because of you know, the way, you know, he's Millwall through and through, and you know, grew up supporting Millwall, so it'd be a hard one to see him leave. And you know, I do think he offers us something in certain areas. So it'd be hard to see him leave if he was to leave in January. But it gives him vital minutes at least. If, you know, there is a couple of injuries and he needs to come into the squad, then therefore he's match fit and he's ready to go, and you know, and Rowett can use him. Whereas, you know, it would be worse if he had no minutes under his belt and he had to come in all of a sudden, and he, you know, therefore he was you know, not match fit. And so I think the 23s does benefit the players like that in quite a few areas.
Everything sounds hunky-dory, doesn't it? I think being Millwall, I just know what happens. You're all hunky-dory, everything's rosy in the world, you're walking along, living the dream. Got a foot, it's extra spring in your step when you go to the Den on Saturday, and it almost sometimes, you know, the inevitable comes back at you, doesn't it? We're going to be positive because we're both positive all the time anyway, but it's a luminous thing, isn't it, when you're Millwall? You just kind of expect the unexpected sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes it's good to be grounded, but it's going to be, I just think Saturday's going to be a big game. I think if we win it, I do think it's going to springboard us into a big week ahead. You know, Luton, obviously Saturday, like I said, Sheffield United away. You know, it's set up to be a good week, hopefully. And if we start off well on Saturday, I think it'd be key for us. You mentioned, though, obviously, Murray Wallace and Cooper. You know, Cooper played last game. The selection headache you've got there, you know, if Scott Malone comes back into the side, I guess we're going to try and predict the 11 now. But it's quite difficult to predict, isn't it? It's going to be... Yeah. Do you change a winning team, back-to-back wins, But, you know, Murray Wallace playing left wing back, I don't think I want to take Murray Wallace out of left wing back because I saw his performance against Barnsley, albeit maybe the opposition on Saturday would be a bit more difficult encounter because Barnsley were out of shape. It's a difficult team to predict, I feel like, for Brighton on Saturday.
No, I agree. I think, you know, it's such a hard one. Do you drop Murray? And, you know, because it's not even a, you can't even say let's give him a rest because he's had a 2-week break, didn't he? So it's not
I think you drop Murray. We're rolling that out. It's the problem is do you go Cooper left centre half and then have Murray West left wing back, or do you have Murray West left centre half and then Scott Malone back left wing back? We're going to start there. Come on, tell me, what's the left wing back and left centre half going to be on Saturday?
So if Malone's fit, I'm going to go Malone at left back, left wing back. And just because I think he's been so good recently, I don't think you can drop him. I think you have to go Murray Wallace at left wing back, left centre back.
Left
and half, and play Hutchinson and Ballard at the other two, and then obviously Danny McNamara, right wing back. But, you know, it's harsh on Cooper, and I think he will come back into the squad eventually. But, you know, whether that's next game, next Saturday, next Tuesday, whatever, you know, but whoever does play on Saturday, you know, whether it's Cooper or Murray, the other one will be harsh to miss out, if that makes sense. So, but then again, it's fantastic to have these options, isn't it, for Rauer? I mean, Rauer's not used to having these options, and now he's going to have to pick one of them. I think at the start of the season, if you'd have asked Rauer who his back three were, he would have gone Cooper, Ballard, Hutchinson. But all of a sudden, Murray's, you know, shown, you know, Murray's always been brilliant for us, hasn't he? But, you know, all of the last couple of games, 3-4 weeks maybe, he's been outstanding, probably one of our best performers. And, you know, now Rowett's thinking, wow, I don't know who to go for now. Do you go for the height of Cooper, you know, and have a little bit more threat, you know, a bit more, you know, if they go long ball. But then Murray, you know, the other argument was normally if you go Cooper, you have more chance of scoring goals from corners. But Murray Wallace showed that he can do exactly that. So it's so hard. I mean, it's you know, it's whoever you choose, there's the other person's going to feel hard done by. So, you know, it's up to Rowett, whatever he chooses, you know, it's not, I'm not really too fussed because I think we've got two quality centre backs there. But whoever he does pick, the other one's going to feel hard done by.
That's it. I was highlighting what I said earlier about trying to get the squad happy. Yeah. It's a tough task. But I agree with you. I think it'll be, you know, Luton and Artina also play a five at the back formation. I feel like half the division plays five at the back now. I don't know if that's a trend that's like happened since the Euros or whatever, but obviously Rowett waited this a couple of years ago when he first came into the job, and we saw glimpses of it a couple of seasons ago. But yeah, a lot of teams play this five back system, two central midfielders, three attacking players. And it's just about how you execute it. I fancy us to be, you know, Luton being a bit more of a football insider field and not necessarily a up and at them team. It could come back to bite me saying that because I don't see a lot of Luton, but obviously I've seen a few of their goals. They do like to play through the lines as well. So I do think it will suit having a Scott Malone in there, just maybe if we, you know, can pick up on a counter-attack, having that kind of outlet on the left-hand side. So I'd like to see Scott Malone in there as well. I agree with you. Murray Wallace left centre-half. Cooper missing out, who I didn't think was terrible at Barnsley. He somehow got into Who Scored Player Ratings Team of the Week for the Championship. He wasn't terrible in the slightest, but I think he is a bit out of sorts at the moment. And maybe, you know, like I said, a sustained period out of the team won't be a bad thing for a player like that. And especially, you know, kind of bounce back from that in the future can only be a good thing for the sides. I guess George Long in goal for us as well, yeah? Yeah, it's not the serious face there. You've left it, believe everything I said there. Bielkowski in goal, obviously. At this point, to give him, you know, two back-to-back clean sheets as well, Kai. You know, I think if you wanted to judge him based on before the first international break in September and after the international break in September, I think he's kind of got into gear, so to speak, and got his groove for the season. I think, you know, he's been solid, hasn't he? And two back-to-back clean sheets, been great.
Yeah, he's been fantastic, hasn't he? But, you know, he had a couple of doubts his first couple of games, didn't he? But ever since then, he's really picked up and shown his worth. But, you know, going back to the formation, I don't know, I'd actually be tempted to play a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, mix it up. I was just thinking that when I was looking at it, because obviously I was looking, we'll see what formation they played last time out against Huddersfield. And all season they were playing the 5-3-2 or 5-2-1-2, whatever you want to call it. I was just thinking that as well. Is it a possibility to go 4-4-2 even and just stick Smith and a Phobie up front? Do you know what I mean? But I suppose when you've won back-to-back games and you've got two clean sheets, there's a formula there to keep, isn't it? So I don't expect them to change it. Although if the game's in the balance and there's half hour to go, it wouldn't surprise me to see him go 4-4-2. I can't believe I've just said that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
You know what? I know you said about Smith and a Phobie, but if he wants to make it really exciting, what he could do is he go 4-2-3-1, play Barton goal, McNamara. This is harsh because then you have to drop Cooper and Murray Wallace. That's really harsh. Or you could play Cooper and Hutchinson, whatever. Hutchinson, Ballard, Malone, or you could play whoever you want to play in that back four.
Yeah, just put your hand in the hat, and then as long as it doesn't pick out, it's fine.
I think the only guaranteed players are probably Danny McNamara and Scott Malone, and probably Hutchinson. You know, whoever you want to play on the left side, that's absolutely fine. I'd go George Saville if he's fit, and either Keefton Bell, Leonard, Evans. That take your pick with that one as well. And then if you want to go really attacking, I'd go Jed, Ojo, Bennett in behind Afobe.
Nice.
I think that is a serious front four, in behind. I think that's wow. Yeah,
definitely. I mean, that's definitely if you want to go try and like play balls in behind and just cause havoc on the wings. I think that definitely would be interesting to see. We'll keep to realism and expect Garrett to keep the five back anyway. But yeah, like you said, McNamara, you mentioned in there, obviously come back into the sides. I agree with you, mate. The last two games, he's been great as well. Back-to-back wins, always good to see. I think we've only won games where McNamara's played, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, did he play against Blackpool at the start of the season? I'm not sure. Can't remember. I can't remember when he picked his injury up anyway. But yeah, I think McNamara's been solid at right wing, but has to continue in there. Midfield two, obviously last time out, we had George Evans and Saville. We mentioned Saville's doubt. Obviously, Evans played against Barnsley. Like you said, it's hard to predict, isn't it? But I wouldn't be surprised if I saw the same two in there, maybe. Or maybe Mitchell in there. I don't know. Mitchell was knocking on the door after like last couple of games. Got on a lot and got some game time. Had an opportunity to score in both games. Mitchell, I feel like I had both opportunities to score in both games.
Yeah.
But yeah, Leonard, yeah, he's not even, you know, it's mad, isn't it? There's the options.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, he's got so many options. And there's no one in there that I would say I don't want to see start. There's not even anyone in there I'd say I prefer not to see start.
Yeah.
I don't mind who starts because they've all got quality in their own. They all offer something to the team. So, you know, whoever he starts, I'd say probably the only player that I'd probably try and cement in that side would be Saville. Mm-hmm. Just because I think Saville's got class, he uses class on and off the ball. But the other place is completely up for grabs because they all offer, you know, plenty in their own way. So whoever he goes for, it's completely up to him.
It's Saville's reading the game for me. I think it's just like he's always had that know-how of kind of falling to the ground before a tackle comes in to win a midfield foul or whatever. That's always useful to have. But also just like he has the ability to pick up the ball in the right places, but also be on the edge of the box all the time. And I think we're starting to see more of that George Saville from his second or third spell. I mean, I think he's had four spells at this point at Mill, but you know the spell I'm talking about when he scored 10 goals, obviously under Neil Harris. So I think we're starting to see the best of that. I'm going to want to put my neck out there and predict my midfield two of Saville and Mitchell. There you go. What do you reckon? What would you go for?
Do you know what? I was thinking the same, but I'll mix it up and I go Saville and Leonard.
Okay, well,
Leonard deserves a start after his fantastic performances at right wing back. So,
if you're listening or watching me and Kai on YouTube or on audio, let us know who you think will be in the midfield too. In fact, give us your start 11 as well. But forward three, I don't see it changing. I could be wrong, but I think it'll probably be the same as last time out. Ojo, Afobe, and Jed Wallace. Agree, Kai?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I think you've got the pace, you've got the quality in the front three. So yeah, no complaints from me.
On August 25th,
I'm the most brutal, vicious, ruthless champion that ever been.
The most anticipated original series is here. You may know Tyson.
You're the heavyweight champion of the world, young, rich, and black.
But do you know Mike?
The minute you get too big, they gotta cut you down.
Starring Trevante Rhodes.
I am Mike.
And Harvey Keitel.
They'll love you as much as they fear you.
Now I'm really gonna have some fun.
Mike, series premiere August 25th, only on Hulu.
Your work technology should help your organization run better. Monday.com is an intuitive platform designed to help teams of all sizes work better together and maximize results. With Monday.com, you can easily customize your workflows to fit your team's exact needs and create automated updates to keep everyone up to speed in real time. Experience the power of a single platform that replaces your costly tech toolbox and the headache that comes with it. To start your 14-day free trial, go to Monday.com.
What was interesting, obviously, from the Barnsley game, and I didn't really get a chance to talk about it the last show, Afobe was quite disappointed to be taken off about 20-minute mark to go. Smith comes on, instantly gets a header on goal, and maybe could have scored straight from that. It highlights instantly what impact Smith has on the games. But like I said always, I think to have that impact 20 minutes to go, it almost guarantees you almost an opportunity scoring a goal from a set piece. So I don't think I still don't think it justifies starting him, but you can't knock the impact Smith has on this team whenever he's there. Even like in the set play for Murray Wallace's goal, like when you're the central defender when you're the defending team picking up a player at set pieces, if you go man for man or if you go zonal, you're aware constantly of the biggest man on the pitch. sits in your mind straight away. And then that then gives the opportunity for likes of Murray Willis to come steaming in and score a header. I think the impact he has is, it's not underrated by Mill fans. We all appreciate what he does. But I think it's true value doesn't get appreciated enough, especially the kind of, like, you know, the habit he can cause being in there. But at the same time, I think what route was to go for is more mobile front three, isn't it? Interchanging, try to counter-attack, play through the lines. So I think, you know, I can see it being same three and Smith coming on with half hour to go if we need him, I suppose, isn't it, Guy?
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think the only thing that Raoult might think is that Luton have got a bit of a struggle with these set pieces and balls into the box. I mean, they did, remember when we played them on New Year's Day, that Smith caused them half a cool afternoon, didn't he? I think we won 3-1 that game, so put us into the playoffs. But Luton have never really been able to, like, stop that, you know, that problem of theirs of conceding set pieces, struggling in the air. I just wonder whether Raoult might think, well, maybe even go 4-4-2, as you said, and play Smith up top. But no, if he is to play three with Jed, Afobia and Ojo, that'll be more than, there's more than enough quality there to break Luton down. And I think that is, if you, once they start to gel, I think that potentially could be one of the, you know, I'm going to say, go bold here, that is one of the best front threes in the division, in my opinion, if they're all on song. So
I love what he's having, but no, I agree with you, to be fair. It is a good front three. I mean, I do agree with you there, mate. Or you could go full European and think, let's think the next three games in advance here. You know, you've got Luton Saturday, Sheffield United Tuesday, Stoke Saturday. Got a full squad to choose from. Maybe you pick your 11s in your mind for the three games ahead. I personally go game to game, pick your best 11 that you think is going to win the game. But it wouldn't surprise me if he thinks, I'll take a phobia out with the idea that I want to be against Sheffield United, a bit more counter-attack inside. You never know, but I think for me personally, the must win this week, with you look at Luton at home, Sheffield United away, Stoke at home, I think you just got to win Luton. Just get that win on the board, just to, not even to ease the critics, because at this point, you know, back-to-back wins, but also you're on a high. Don't think about the games ahead. Just play game to game, next game, next game, next game. And I know it can be difficult at times, but you never know. You might change it up. But I think personally, you just got to focus on this game on Saturday and just try basically get that win to keep us going, I think.
Yeah, and there's potential here that, you know, we've got Luton Saturday, Sheffield United Tuesday, and Stoke on next Saturday. Stoke are a really good side. You know, they're dangerous, but, you know, their quality they possess. Sheffield United are a good side, but we seem to do quite well at Bramall Lane, don't we? So that'll be, you know, a tough game, but winnable, you know, potential get points out of. So if we can get a point, if we can beat Luton, you know, and let's say get a point against Sheffield United. So that's 4 points out of six. So even though I think we probably could go there and win if we're, you know, we play as well as we can. And then if we got 4 points out of six, then go Sheffield, if we beat, and then going into Stoke, we beat Stoke, all of a sudden we've got 7 points out of nine. We're probably sitting comfortably in the playoffs. And, you know, and then all of a sudden everything's, you know, even better than it is now. So, you know, I know that's not very optimistic.
Your optimism is contagious, I'll tell you that much. If people don't listen to this show and not think I'm going to smack a bet on Mill to win the league at this point, I don't know what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, you're very optimistic at all times, mate. And I salute it, to be fair. I'm probably like three quarters of the way there. Like, you're always there, but I'm like just a little bit behind you. I'm quite optimistic all the time as well, but it's just the magic of what back-to-back wins does, isn't it, Kai? Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of feeling. But like I say, I'm always feet on the ground here. It's Millwall. I've got a step down to Saturday.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see, mate. And I do like your optimism always. So, okay. What's the score going to be on Saturday, mate? 10, part one.
So I don't want to sound too optimistic here now. So...
4-0.
You say 4-0?
No, I'm saying you're going to come out with that now, aren't you?
No. I'm going to go... We're going to edge it. We're going to win 2-1.
Yep.
And I'm going to go for Afobe and Jed.
Law of averages says if we keep back-to-back clean sheets, we probably won't keep another clean sheet. So I like it. And also knowing that Luton score a lot of goals and concede a lot of goals, 2-1 is a good shout. And it's also the shout I would have gone for. But just to be different, I'll go 3-1. Repeat that New Year's Day win when Bradshaw and Mahoney and Smith scored. So... there you go. Imagine it's the same three scorers. I wonder what the odds is on that, because I don't see all three being on the pitch at the same time or at any point. But I'll go 3-1. There you go. I'll give you goal scorers as well. I'll say George Saville.
Yep.
Jed Willis.
Yep.
And Matt Smith.
There you go.
Like, guys, if you're listening or if you're watching, score predictions below. Leave us your start 11 as well. We're going to end up part one here and come back with part two with a little loan update on the players out on loan for Millwall. So back shortly. Okay, welcome to part number two of the show. As mentioned, this is the part where myself and Kai are probably going to spend about 10 minutes talking about our Lions on loan. Obviously, mate, you know, we've got a few players out on loan, hotly anticipated ones, some that, you know, we thought maybe could have stuck around the first team squad, got some minutes. We look at the squad now anyway, and we probably think it's for the best that all these players are out on loan. In reality, when you've got everyone available, they probably don't get a look in at all. But I want to start with the one that stuck out most to me, or maybe actually we'll say both, who we think stuck out most in their loan spells. I'm going to go first and probably steal the limelight from you here, but Alex Mitchell at Leyton Orient just amazed me so far. I don't know if that's going to be your standout one or...
So we
will start on Alex Mitchell then. Obviously, he's gone to Leyton Orient, like I said there. He's obviously been in the sides, I think, since basically arriving there. You know, he was obviously involved at Mill, played that one game at Cambridge United at home for 11 minutes, went to Leyton Orient and was an ever-present in their side for about five or six games. I don't think he's actually lost a game. There you go. There's a stat for you. Leyton Orient haven't lost a game when Alex Mitchell's in the side here, according to Flash Scores. He's played one, two, three, four, five, six 90-minute games. He's missed two in between there. And that was their only defeat away at Port Vale when they lost 3-2. He wasn't in the squad. And also away at Crawley Town in the Cup, they won 4-0, but he didn't play that either. But there you go. Alex Mitchell hasn't lost a game when he's playing for Leyton Orient this season, mate.
It's quite impressive, isn't it? It's quite a stat. He's brilliant. He's, you know, when he played that game for Millwall and came on, he was just, you know, you could see he's just such a, you know, a good up and coming player. And I think he really will. You know, I think he'll make it into the Millwall side. I think maybe whether we recall him at some point this year or whether we play him next year, I think it'll probably be next year now, won't it, with Ballard being in there. But, you know, I think he's got a real good, real bright future ahead of him. I saw a tweet from Leyton Orient the other day. I don't know whether you saw it. It said something like, at Millwall FC, can we keep him? quite funny. And it was a gif of him sort of like celebrating with the Leyton Orient fans.
They give him a nickname. I can't remember. I know with Millwall players call him like Meathead and stuff like that, but maybe that's what Leyton Orient call him. I'm sure I've seen on social media they give him like a little tag like that or something. But he's an absolute unit, like we've said. They've also kept three clean sheets in the six games he's played. Only 18 years old, Kai. It's unbelievable, I think, isn't it? Like, he's just an absolute brute of a centre-half at 18 years of age, but also just shows that kind of, you know, he's playing league football and clearly not losing a game in a Leyton Orient side. He's obviously showing he can step up to any level he's playing at the minute.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he did really well at Bromley last year. You know, it's one thing to do it in a non-league side, and that's no disrespect to Bromley. But Bromley did really well, and he was, you know, really a real... Big. He was part of the main spine of that success last year. Bromley, they got to semi-finals, I think, or the eliminator of the playoffs. And he's gone to Leyton Orient this year, and he's moved up a division and just shown what he can do again. And I think, you know, it's a difficult one. Maybe in January, do you recall him and send him to a League One club and see what he can do there? And then maybe next year with the view to playing him next year. But, you know, you don't want to sort of hamper. You don't want to sort of, you know, cause any problems and you know, and ruin his development, because if he's doing really well at Leyton Orient, you might want to keep him there. But, you know, it'd be good to see what he can do at a League One club before maybe giving him a go in Millwall. But obviously, if he continues to do as well as he does and he stays there for the rest of the season, I think, you know, he definitely deserves a shot next year.
Absolutely, mate. And I agree with you. I really look forward to seeing him come back to Millwall. I agree with you. You know, maybe League One could be an option in the future. But I think at the same time, under the tuition of Kenny Jackett at Leyton Orient, you know, ex-Millwall manager, you know what you get from a Kenny Jackett side as well. I think it's kind of a good little fit for him there at Leyton Orient as well. And nice and local. He only lost two games in nine at Bromley as well. So he doesn't taste defeat a lot. There you go. It's a good little niche he's got there, I think. We'll have to wait and see. I think we'll move on now anyway to another central defender. One that probably a lot of people thought would, you know, hit the ground running in Scotland. Although it did take McNamara a couple of games to get in at St Johnstone last season. It's Hayden Muller this time. Obviously, he went to St Johnstone. Callum Davidson's up there. We all know about the relationship he's got there. He's been a bit hit and miss, Kai. He's not played a lot of games. He's kind of been in and out, in and out. I think he's just maybe trying to get him to play at the right opportunity, I think, maybe at the moment. But he's obviously, you know, it looks like he's played against Rangers at home. They only lost 2-1. I think he got an assist in that game. It's maybe just still finding his feet by looks of it at St Johnstone for Hayden Muller.
Yeah, and I think it also depends where you play him as well, because he can. I think he's mainly a right back, isn't he? Or he's a centre back and he can play. I've heard that he can play centre back, centre mid, and right back. I think he can play all three. So it's getting, you know, sort of working out which one is his preferred position and best position. You know, and you know, even though it hasn't maybe gone as well as he would have liked to so far, there's still plenty of time to turn it around. We know what sort of bright future he has ahead of him because he was fantastic when he came on, when he's come on for us in the past. Last season, he was I think he came on a couple of times, didn't he, last season? Yeah. He was really good. So I think, you know, it's difficult. We'll see what he can do second half of the season or rest, you know, until January. But, you know, I think he'll prove he'll turn this around and get back to the form that everyone knows he can get to.
6 league appearances in the Scottish Premier League. It's still a great experience for him. And, you know, like I said, the season's still young. A lot of time still to go. Maybe not, you know, he's obviously not trusted yet to play in the European games. They had a few at the start of the season and he didn't get a look in there. But I think his time will come, and hopefully Cam Davison has a lot of faith in him that he can come step in soon and, you know, kind of cement a place to the side. I think he's been playing central defence by looking through, just flicking through some of the games they've played. He played central defence against Rangers. He also played right side centre half against Hibernian. So, yeah, he's clearly obviously involved. Picked up 2 bookings though, so true Mill style there in the 6 games he's played. But yeah, obviously one to watch out for, Hayden Miller. I'm sure hopefully we'll see a bit more of him as the running goes to Christmas Eve and get a bit more game time there. We've spoken about Tyler Bewery in a few shows. Obviously done well, hasn't he, at Hartlepool, then got injured. Excuse me. I saw an article during the week that he's hopefully going to be back involved before the end of the year. Maybe late November, I'll be back at Hartlepool and back scoring goals, hopefully. But mate, he obviously went on that little hot streak, didn't he, to start the season? 3 goals in 3 and 5 overall since he arrived in the League 2. I'm really surprised, to be honest. I'm not going to say I underrated Tyler Bewery, but maybe he's found his level in that sense. But when I've seen him play, he's just been a bit rough around the edges. But to go to League 2, score 3 and 3, you know, and that was a quick impact there. It just, you know, highlights obviously what he's about, isn't it? And fair play to him.
Yeah, and he scored a right cracker, didn't he? I think it was a game or something. It was a brilliant goal. You know, there obviously is quality there, and there's, you know, he's quick, isn't he? He's electric quick. I think he's rapid. Remember when he played for us a couple of times last year, he really does have pace. It's just about sort of, you know, fine-tuning his end product, I guess. And he looks like he, you know, had that. And unfortunately for him, he suffered, I think it was a grade 2, wasn't it? Grade 2 or grade 3? I think it was hamstring, one of them. So let's hope he can get back in November, get back scoring goals, providing assists, and I think he'll be a massive boost for Hartlepool, and it'll be good to see how he can do in the rest for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think their manager, his name escapes me right now, but I know he's always been like kind of big up on Tyler Bewery since he arrived there, and I think it's Dave Chaloner. I've just googled him there, Dave Chaloner. But he was gutted to lose Bewery at the time, and obviously, you know, he's had a big impact there, and he's hopefully obviously he can come back soon. And yeah, like you said, it was a hamstring injury, so obviously it's an iffy one, isn't it? But I think, you know, he's come back to Millwall, you know, done his kind of rehab here, so to speak, and hopefully he can get back into match speed soon and arrive back in League 2. Who do you want to go for next? You've got 3 to choose from. 2 defenders, 1 attacker. You know who the attacker is.
Let's go for Olaf.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's go for
it. Tanto Olafe. Obviously, 3 games in so far at Sutton United. Obviously, he had that injury in pre-season. The first day of pre-season in Scotland as well. Picked up an injury. Couldn't even be involved in any of the pre-season games, which I know I was gutted about. I'd love to have seen him get a game just to see what he's like, really, because I've not seen him play. I couldn't tell you what he's about, really. I've seen the goals and what highlights of him, so I can tell you that. But just to see him in match action, so to speak, in person. But, you know, he's gone back to Sutton United, got the loan spell that we kind of all thought would probably happen. And I think it's probably like, you know, especially having that injury in pre-season, go to a happy place, somewhere you know is where he's quite valued and respected. And he's gone back into the team, well, a couple of sub appearances, but also started the other night against Portsmouth in the Papa John's Cup, or whatever you want to call it. The two Bob Cup and scored a goal though, didn't he? So, you know, he's obviously, I think, keen to make an impression there again.
Yeah, it's great to see him score, get back to that feeling of scoring goals. He did really well at Sutton last year. It'd be great to see him, you know, do really well this year. And hopefully, I think as you said, I think all Millwall fans want to see him in the side, see what he can do. Because I know myself, I really want to see him in a Millwall shirt very soon and see exactly what he's about. Because again, at Sutton, he looked a really good player, and he had some really, you know, he's quick, he's got really good feet, he knows where the back of the net is. So, yeah, I'd love to see him in a Millwall shirt sooner rather than later. So, yeah, this experience of Sutton this year in League Two will be great, especially as Sutton are now, I think, in the playoffs, aren't they? So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that is kind of feel good. You know, they had a tough start to the season, but they quickly picked that up. And I think they've won 7 of their last 8 in the league, or 6 of their last 7. So, outrageous, really, stat for them. And I think, you know, last season got 16 and 39 in all competitions. This year, he's already notched 1. Did you see the clip of him against Port Vale where he was playing through on goal and the referee put the flag up for offside? Did you see that doing around?
No, I haven't seen that.
It was brilliant because it wasn't even the flag for offside, sorry. The lino didn't give offside, but it was the last kick of the half and they've played all of the game. He's played the ball through and he's called full time there and the referee's blown the whistle and he's fuming at the referee. I'd recommend anyone's going to check it because it's quite funny. He's clearly through on goal. The defenders ain't going to catch him for anything. And then the referee blows full time in the game and he's fuming. But I think it was on his social medias or I saw it, someone tweeted it online anyway. So good watch. I would recommend anyone go and check that out because it's quite funny. But we'll move on from Tanto. And we've got Dan Moss next, I'm going to go for. Dan Moss is on loan at Yeovil Town. A right-sided kind of player, isn't he? Centre-half slash right-back. And obviously, you know, playing in the National League, 9 games in. A bit hit and miss with the form at Yeovil at the moment. But consistently playing and obviously valuable experience from there.
Yeah, and he can play in midfield. I've watched a couple of 23s matches and he's a real warrior. When I've watched him, he has been the 23s captain and he shows a real, he works ever so hard. He puts his foot into challenges. He's a really, really good player. He doesn't pull out a tackle. He's always in the thick of it. And he can play centre midfield if he needs to, just defensive midfield, sort of like ball playing. He's got a nice pass in him. So yeah, hope he can hope to do well at Yeovil Town because that looks like a really good platform for him to develop at.
We're reaping the rewards, ain't we? I think of having an academy that is quite successful in the last couple of years. Yeah. I think whilst we're not reaping the rewards, it's great to see having players at League One, League Two, Scottish Premier League, National League. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's players here, there, and everywhere popping up, playing consistent games as well. And okay, the skill gap from Championship to League One, League Two, you know, it's there to be seen. And a lot of teams struggle when they come up to the Championship. But the fact that we've got our youngsters playing in these divisions, you know, applying their trade, but also scoring goals and competing at that level, it's great to see because I'm thinking back to 10, 15 years ago now. Where you've got the odd player come through. I'm thinking, you know, O'Brien came through and, you know, had a loan spell at Torquay United or something silly, scores a couple of goals. You know, we've not really had many players go out on loan. And when we have done, it's not been, you know, they don't really grab the headlines, so to speak. But then you think now, obviously last season, Matt Namara, you know, you've got players here, then everywhere, applying the try, but also just succeeding as well. And it's refreshing to see.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think it gives us a really good base at the bottom of the club. You know, for players to come through and players like Danny McNamara and Billy Mitchell have sort of given them sort of players hope that they can make it at Millwall, with how well they've done when they come. Well, Danny McNamara is a, you know, first team player. He's not even a squad player, is he? That he plays every game. And Billy Mitchell shows real good potential every time he does play. And I think he probably deserves to play a bit more because of the quality he has shown even when he played at right wing back, which isn't his position. He made it his own. I thought it was fantastic. So it gives the younger players and players coming through a little bit more hope that they can make it one day. And players like the players on loan will have that chance. And there's even players that have, obviously Abdul Malik, who just signed a new deal. There's quite a lot of excitement around him, isn't there? And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to give him a chance at some point this year to show his worth. But yeah, these players coming through have got hope now because of the players that have made it.
Definitely. I mean, like I said, I'm thinking back to the past, you know, and having them so exciting kind of prospects come through and do it at league football as well. You know, it's different to having Killian Hughes-Mason come on as a sub and play a game, or John Marquis back then. You know, it's this different feel about things. And these players feel like when they get in the team, they're going to be here to stick around. And it's for Millwall, we love one of our own, do you know what I mean? And I think not only are they one of our own, but they're quite a skillful bunch of players there. So exciting things to come. And hopefully we do see that in the next couple of years where, you know, who knows, we could get 5 or 6 homegrown Mill players in the starting 11 in a league game even, which would be great to see. So, we'll definitely have to talk about it more in the future, I think. We're going to round up with a bit of a... If people are wondering who the last one is, I might have missed the player, by the way, and if I have done, apologies. But I asked Kai before we done it, and I think we've got the players out on loan correct. But one player in particular we've left at the end is Marlon Romeo. I thought he's technically out on loan, Kai, so we might as well talk about him. He hasn't really had it hunky-dory at Portsmouth so far. I've just quickly looked through it. I think he's played 8 games there. They only won one. Clean sheet in only one of them as well. I don't want to say it's all because of Marlon Romeo. I saw something of a clip not too long ago. I think against Burton, he played a back pass and it was wayward and they scored from it. But it's interesting to see how he gets on at Portsmouth. They did get a good 4-0 win their last league out in against Sunderland at home. Obviously, Sunderland's done really well so far this season, so it's quite a shock result. But like we said, you know, it's obviously, we know it came to an end, obviously, for Romeo at Millwall, but it's interesting to see how he gets on a League One, because I personally thought he could have been Championship above, really, you know what I mean, especially a couple of years ago.
Yeah, before I speak about Romeo, did you see the state of that pitch against Sunderland the other day?
Yeah.
It was absolutely atrocious. It was awful, wasn't it? I mean, well, I don't know how players can play on that, but no, Romeo, you know, it's good to see him getting games elsewhere and doing well. He's not doing brilliant at Portsmouth, but it's good to see him getting game time.
He's played every game since he's been there, so he's definitely obviously in to stay, so to speak, under the Cowley brothers.
Well, I think, you know, Marlon Romeo as a League One player he'd be very good at League One level. I've got no doubt about that. I mean, there was one stage in the Championship where he looked like, God, Marlon looks fantastic here, and he could potentially even move up. He could potentially even have clubs looking at him in the Premiership at one point, because I thought he looked, you know, maybe 2 years ago.
Definitely.
I think it was just before Rowett came in, or maybe just as Rowett came in. Marlon was sort of hit the peak, wasn't he, of his career of how he was doing at Millwall. You know, and Marlon's a good player. He's got good quality, you know, in certain areas. I mean, he needs to work on his end product a little bit more with his crossing and finishing. But in terms of his work rate and his defending, I think he's quite good at that. He's really quick. So yeah, I hope he does well at Pompey. It'd be interesting to see what happens with him, won't it? Because I think he's still got a couple of years left on his deal. So whether he maybe goes to Pompey permanently in the summer, or I don't know, we'll have to see.
I thought he had only less than a year left. Maybe I might be wrong.
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe.
Yeah, who knows? Nowadays, you don't really know contract lengths. It's not really that savvy out there in the world, is it, really? But yeah, it's obviously a shame. And I agree with you, everything you said there, really. You know, he did have a exciting time at Millwall at one stage and, you know, was anticipated to really kind of kick on and be here for many years to come. It ended quite, you know, how we all know, off the pitch and on the pitch. And with fans, relation was clearly lost there. But, you know, I think he is clearly obviously a player still with a lot of immense talent. 26 years old still, Kai, you know, and he broke through at a young age, obviously. He got knocked back by Arsenal many years ago. Was at Gillingham, was at Millwall as a 23s player. And he still fits in that category where if Millwall signed a 26-year-old player that, you know, got knocked back by a club, I'm sure Portsmouth think the same thing. You know, we could turn him around, get the best out of him. And it wouldn't surprise me to see him come back into the Championship in the near future and, you know, kind of kick on and you know, be a solid right back in this league. So yeah, one to watch out for, I'm sure, in the future, definitely, and could come back to haunt us one day.
Potentially, yeah. And I still remember I still remember his first, I think it was his league debut, actually.
Walsall away.
So what a strike that was, yeah.
Yeah, 3-0 away. I think Gregory got two, Romeo got the one. I nearly got Sid Nelson's shirt that day. That's why it sticks in the memory. It was he threw it in the crowd. I nearly got it. I loved Sid Nelson at the time. But obviously, you know, one of our own. We all love one of our own. And I nearly grabbed it and someone yanked it away from me. I was like gutted. And I remember sitting on the train on the way home and seeing him with a shirt as well. And I was thinking, that could have been me. it's different. Like, I think I've got a couple of shirts anyway, but like, it's different to actually get the shirt at the game, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Like the proper mud sweat. It was like a rainy day, shit, like weather. It could have been like, you know, the perfect kind of cap to that away day. But there you go. There's a little tell from me on one of my away days in the past. I think that's everything from today anyway, Kai. Thank you as always for joining me. And hopefully, you know, Saturday's game could be the one we're all hoping for. And, you know, we get that 3-1 win, like I said, or a 2-1 victory like you predicted, mate. And hopefully we kick on.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Just 3 points will do. You know, hopefully some exciting football. There'll be a tough team, Luton, but hopefully we can more than match them and show our quality and, yeah, get 3 points.
Definitely. So, yeah, thanks to Kai as always. And thanks to you guys for listening and watching. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. Check us out on Twitter, @ThatMillPods. Yeah, all the details in the description below anyway. So we're going to sod off and hopefully we'll be back on Sunday with a story of 3 points for Millwall at the Den. Thanks for watching, guys. See you soon.
Message.
What up, what up? It's Heather's cousin. You dated her in college, or maybe you were just in the same class. Anyway, I heard you bought a boat, my man. Let's hit the water. Oh, and Heather told me you always liked, snacks and stuff, so I could totally bring some chips.
When you get a boat, you also get new friends. Make sure Progressive's one of them, and get coverage today for as little as $100 a year.
Hey, also, I'm a little short on cash, so can you cover the chips? Thanks. I can see why Heather liked you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
The is it morning yet deal. How about now? Or now? Because morning time is McDonald's breakfast time. And that's the best time of all the times.
Wake up with a little splash of sweetness. Get any size iced coffee from caramel to hazelnut to French vanilla for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.